Chapter 5. Emma. As I wait patiently for my mother to be available so I can try, again, to convince her that doing IT support for her small business isn't a fulfilling job, or even a full-time one, and certainly not what I spent years of my life studying to do, I stare at the nearest painting. It's of a jail cell, the kind with old, rusted metal bars that can only be seen now in pirate movies and Revolutionary War documentaries. The reality of it is disturbing. Part of my brain is convinced that if I were to reach beyond the velvet cording and drag a finger across one of the bars, slight flakes of rust would fall to the floor. A tightness crosses my chest as I stare. From where I'm standing, I feel as if I am the one trapped in the cell. The door covers the large vertical canvas, forcing me to examine everything through the confining bars. A large padlock is holding the door shut, but all I can see is the back of it. In the distance, beyond the shadowy depths of other cells and a jailer's table strewn with the remains of a dinner the cell's inhabitant will never see, is a glimmer of sunlight on a rough set of stone stairs. The relatability of the image is unsettling. I'm not in some sort of cell, even if the custom couture dress reminds me of a torture device. My life is a carefully managed set of relationships, yes, but it's created that way on purpose. No one trapped me into it. I tear my gaze away from the painting and step into my mother's peripheral vision so I can grab a moment of her attention.
You know, I'll need a different skirt with it, though,
the woman beside Mother is saying in a gravely serious tone. Mother nods along solemnly as if they were discussing a medical diagnosis instead of a dress. The woman's eyes grow wide.
I tried to look at some of your past customizations, but the gallery wouldn't load on the website.
Oh no. I know where this conversation is going next, and I want no part of it. I step back, intending to flee to the food table, the bathroom, maybe even a lockable closet. I'm not fast enough, though, because Mother turns to me and places a hand on my arm. In another 20 years or so, this is what Amy is going to look like. Wide smile, perfectly coiffed blonde hair, just enough wrinkles left untouched to appear like she isn't trying too hard. Darling, Melinda here was just telling me our website doesn't seem to be loading properly. This is what I came over here to talk to Mother about, but doing so in front of this stranger doesn't feel appropriate. My lips press into a slight frown that I hope looks appropriately commiserating. Sounds like you should contact customer support. Mother's eyes widen.
But it's Friday!
Well, I'm certain everyone is going to flock to the boutique Monday to scoop up Amethyst's designs. We have many customers that are going to want custom variations, and we want them to inquire while this event is fresh in their minds. She looks me up and down. Did Scott get a good picture of you tonight? We'll definitely want to include this one in the gallery. Yes, I've been appropriately photographed. At least I smiled at a man with a monster of a camera earlier. Excellent. Mother clasps her hands together. So you'll take a look at the website this weekend? Ever since Amy convinced Mother and Aunt Jade to expand the boutique's virtual presence, they've been after me to come work for the boutique. Creating code for virtual, augmented, and mixed reality experiences is far more interesting to me than making sure their website is user error-proof. Not to mention the stress that would come with seeing my family day in and day out. Somehow, I don't think they'd accept my preferred daily attire of leggings and oversized hoodies, or the general vibe of chaos I create while I work. Your website company has 24/7 support, I remind her. I'd made sure of it when I helped them select it. You just enter a ticket on their website, and they'll get right on it. Mother frowns. I don't have to call? Not unless you have a hankering for hold music. Mother looks like she's about to make another argument for my coming into the fold. It's not happening. I love my mother, but I long ago accepted my fate as the disappointing twin. I'm going to see how Amy is doing, I announce before spinning away, intent on escaping to my sister's side. Except she's a mere 4 steps away, clearly having been caught by someone on her way to join Mother's and my conversation. As I step over to her, the wrinkles of tension forming at the edge of her smile come into view. I reach out and grasp her fingers, giving them 2 short squeezes and 1 long one. Her shoulders lower a little. She wraps up her conversation and turns to me, her free hand joining our already clasped ones.
I think it's going well. Do you think it's going well?
I don't know what to say, as tonight is supposed to be a celebration, not a critique.
Yes?
People seem happy, so that means it's a successful party, right? She looks me up and down before giving a sharp nod.
I was right to change the color for you. This is absolutely your shade. I'll need to remember that on our birthday.
I make a non-committal grunt. The green is pretty enough. And, objectively speaking, this is a nice dress. It's just not for me. Mother and Aunt Jade join us, and for a moment, it's just my family. The way it's been my whole life. My father had been long gone from Mother's life when she discovered our existence, and was more than happy to provide a check while Mother moved in with her sister. With Amy being the woman of the hour, our familial solitude doesn't last long.
Congratulations,
an older man says as he steps into our loose gathering.
The gowns are works of art unto themselves.
Thank you.
Amy's gracious society smile is far warmer than mine. That might be because she means it.
And thank you for letting us use this space. I just love the McGrary Museum.
Of course.
Everyone looks around the room as if we haven't been staring at the same paintings and people for the last 2 hours. I go to sip my water, but my hand is empty. Where did I put my glass?
You'll have to return in a few months.
He leans in and whispers, even though he is obviously excited.
We're in the process of soliciting pitches for a new self-guided tour system, and the selected prototypes will do a small test run in this very gallery.
Oh, really?
Aunt Jade turns to me.
That should be interesting for you, Emma.
I don't give a committal response, even though my mind is churning. How had I not heard about this? My boss and my best friend Jason has been wanting to expand into the educational realm. This isn't a school, but the idea would be the same. His sincere gaze swings my way.
Are you interested in the blend of art and technology?
The man chuckles.
I admit our board is struggling a little with the concept, but modern times and all that.
You should give him some ideas, Amy says.
Or have your boss contact him. Mother places a hand on my arm. Do you need Mr. Leonard's card? She looks to the man. Emerald just does the manufacturing part. She's not one of the creative design people. It isn't anything I haven't heard dozens of times before. My family equates being a programmer with being the stitcher who puts Amy's clothing designs together. Usually, I can pretend it doesn't bother me. But this time, possibly because this could be a good contact for my company, I can't let it slide. I design solutions, I say, because I do. The aesthetic design of a program only matters if the underlying code is functional. The design team tells me what they want, and I figure out how to make it happen. It would be more along the lines of Amy saying she wants a shirt with giant sleeves that won't deflate, and someone else having to figure out how to make that possible. Are the specs for the project still available? I ask. I'm expecting a business card, a website, or maybe even instructions to call the office on Monday. Instead, I get my mother's fingers wrapped around my arm until the pressure threatens to cut off my circulation.
Oh, darling, congratulations on your promotion!
What? I look to the other people in the circle, hoping they can make sense of Mother's statement. Aunt Jade and Amy have looks of equal excitement, though.
You didn't have to save that announcement, Amy says with a wide smile. It's always fun to share the spotlight with my twin.
We should make another toast. Let everyone know we're celebrating a promotion in the family as well.
Aunt Jade presses a hand to her chest.
You're a designer now. I knew you had it in you. Blood will tell after all.
Oh, no. It's not like that, I say, trying to laugh it off.
Nonsense, Mother turns to Mr. Leonard. Emerald will be able to create the perfect design for you. I've immersed her in the creative world since she was a child. She's a true lover of the arts. Apparently, I'm a better actress than Amy was in high school.
Mr. Crawford slides his hand into his pocket, pulls out a card, and extends it.
We're not officially accepting applications anymore, but your mother has been a longtime patron of this museum, and I trust her eye. If she says we need to hear from you, I'll slip your name onto the list.
Accepting the card is the only option, so I take it in my fingers. The paper is thick with raised print. I rub my thumb over it as I swallow and desperately search for a way out of this. My company would love to send a team in.
Now, Emerald.
Mother's hand is on my arm again, this time in a firm press that is probably meant to be reassuring.
Don't go doubting your abilities just because you're new to the design team. This is your chance to really show your boss you know what you're doing.
We have plenty of other options if you don't want to join them.
Mr. Leonard's smile is easy. He really doesn't seem to care one way or the other, which means the only way Digital World Solutions is getting its foot in the door is through me. Of course, I say, even though that doesn't really make sense in the flow of the conversation. I mean, yes, thank you. Mother is nearly beside herself with glee.
I'm so proud of you, darling.
Amy's hand lands on my shoulder and gives it three squeezes, two short, one long.
We should celebrate,
Aunt Jade says.
Maybe get you a new pantsuit. We've got some lovely ones in the boutique this season.
I'll make you one custom for the presentation, Amy adds with a small smile. Mr. Leonard pulls out his phone.
Emerald, is it? I've added you to the docket.
He angles his phone to show me the email. It instructs the receiver to add my name, not the company's, to the list. He grins at Mother.
Opal, you trinket ladies really are jewels.
His smile turns to me.
Emerald Trinket is a beautiful name.
Only if you've never had to hear the snickers at the doctor's office or had the DMV accuse you of trying to pull a prank.
Are these board meetings open to patrons by any chance?
Mother leans forward, as if she's being conspiratorial. I almost fall over as my eyes widen. She wants to come and watch? This is too much. I make my excuses, congratulate Amy one more time, and make my way to the exit. As I leave behind the buzz of the gallery, I breathe a small sigh of relief. A few people are scattered through the foyer, putting on coats and waiting for cars. I join the line to retrieve my belongings from the coat check.
Your hour is up, I take it?
I turn to find Carter, the man from the museum behind me. He looks out of a place, like a memory that has somehow worked its way into a dream and thrown everything off. Finally, I manage a small wave. Hi. He looks over his shoulder at the gallery.
Anything tonight more to your taste?
My sister. It's his turn to look at a loss for words. I leave him to grapple for the thread of conversation as I accept my coat and bag from the girl working the counter and step to the side to extract my phone and valet ticket. He steps away from the line and joins me without handing over a ticket. I look from him to the claim counter. You don't have a coat?
It's back in the office.
He jabs a thumb over his shoulder toward a door behind the claim counter that says, no public admittance. I can't help my smile. You must really love art.
One could say I've built my life around it.
His returning smile,
has an underlying emotion to it that I want to stop and explore. But my tangle of thoughts and feelings is taking up too much headspace. Still, I can't bring myself to walk away from him.
You work here too, then?
His head gives a wobble that isn't a nod and isn't a shake.
Sort of. It's a part-time thing. Almost more of a volunteer position.
I try to imagine coming here, spending my free time here, devoting hours to whatever it is people do to care for the art and museums. A shudder runs up my spine, and I try to mask it by shrugging into my wrap. Seriously, who decided that women in confining formal clothing should also tangle with a long piece of cloth when it's cold, instead of wearing a proper, securable jacket? He laughs as he plucks the valet ticket from my hand and nods toward the door.
Obviously, the museum's art isn't more to your taste than the art gallery's. You don't have to stay in here on my account.
I wince as I follow him to the door. He gives the valet my ticket and shoves his hands into his pockets. He nods toward the museum.
Your sister brought you tonight? She was the one who dragged you out to see Richie, wasn't she?
I can't help but frown at the mention of Richie. He has yet to make an appearance tonight, despite this being as much of an achievement for Amy as his gallery opening had been for him. You know how it goes. Family. A more weighted statement has never been uttered.
Was tonight better, at least? Any art you actually liked?
The heavy presence of the locked cell door flashes through my mind again. But that had been more disturbing than appealing. I gave my head a small shake. I'm afraid places like this just aren't my cup of tea. They're going to have to be, though, as I just got signed up to present a pitch for a job here. Maybe there's a way out of that one without making my family even more disappointed in me. Carter looks at me for a long moment, seeming to study me. His gaze drops to my shoulder and one side of his mouth kicks up as the valet pulls up in my silver hatchback hybrid. I glance down. It would seem this wrap is actually more of a very flimsy sweater type thing, and I've draped it over myself in a way that leaves the sleeve dangling down my back. Lovely. Well, I say as I awkwardly sidestep to the driver's door. See you around.
Not unless your sister and I keep having the same taste.
How true. And sad. Because I have to say it was nice to lay eyes on Carter again. Right. Well, I guess this is goodbye then. I give a little wave and slide into my car. I drive away from the McGrary Museum, just outside the Benson suburb I grew up in. Usually, my breathing would get easier as I make the 20-minute drive to Eastbourne. But tonight, the tight constriction in my chest grows. What am I going to do about this mess? My family thinks I'm a designer. The museum thinks I'm pitching an enhanced tour guide system, and Carter, well, Carter isn't expecting anything because I have once again confirmed my complete lack of interest in that which he holds most dear. My clothes, which have been irritating since I put them on, seem to scrape at my skin as I climb the steps to my apartment and press my thumb to the sensor on my doorknob. As soon as I'm inside, I shed the formal dress and shake the constricting feeling from my skin. But it does nothing to ease the feeling of dread. Even my coziest hoodie and comfiest yoga pants can't do the trick. I shove my Bluetooth earpiece into position and press the call connect icon on my phone before flopping down on my couch.
I hope you're calling to tell me you had a miserable time since you canceled game night.
My best friend Jason's voice is jovial as he doesn't actually mean what he's saying, but I dearly wish I'd been playing Settlers of Catan tonight instead of digging myself into a hole. Yeah. So I may have gotten put on the schedule to present a pitch to the McGrary Museum tonight. There's silence for a moment, and then a burst of laughter fills my ear. Ugh. I grab a throw pillow shaped like a game console controller and smash it against my face.
What happened?
Jason asks, still chuckling. I give him the basic rundown of the night, leaving out Carter, the dress, and even the reason for my being at an event with the head curator of the museum, because Jason doesn't know me as a girl who wrestles herself into designer duds and goes to places frequented by those in the upper echelons of society. So I think they're expecting a pitch from me in a month or so.
Just tell them you can. Seriously, if they didn't come to us directly, they won't care one way or the other if we don't pitch. Our solutions probably aren't what they have in mind.
Hey, I jerk into a sitting position on my couch. Our solutions are amazing.
They aren't sophisticated.
Yes, they are.
Em, what were you working on earlier this week?
I roll my eyes because I know exactly what he's referring to. I was figuring out how to make dancing bottles of ketchup not fall off the edge of a table when people use an interactive menu.
Mm-hmm. Classy.
I roll my eyes. You're the one who accepted the commission.
Not classy money spends the same as the classy stuff.
Yeah, well, my family expects me to at least pitch this museum project. He snorts out a laugh.
Why? You aren't in design or sales or even project management.
I stay silent. While Jason knows I have a, shall we say, tumultuous relationship with my family, he doesn't know the details. We've been best friends for 8 years, and he's never once met my sister. In fact, Amy sometimes claims I've made him up. I don't know how to admit my family's misconception of my impossible promotion without telling Jason everything I've never wanted to share. It's important to my family. My mother sort of called in a favor. He sighs.
You know, I'd do anything for you, Em, but we can't. Even our long-shot pitches got picked up this year. No one has the bandwidth to add another project to their plate without working a serious amount of overtime.
He's right. I know he's right. Even my own workload is tight. We keep the call connected as we log on to Wizards World 3, but I'm clearly distracted. When I accidentally build a well over a stream of underground lava and burn an entire section of corn crops to ash, I make the excuse of being tired and tell him I'll see him Sunday. As I crawl into bed, only half-heartedly trying to detangle the mess of covers I'd abandoned that morning, I debate ways to break the truth to my family without disappointing them. There isn't one. I don't have to land the bid, but I can't allow Mr. Leonard to tell my mother I never showed. Somewhere in the vicinity of 2 a.m., the only option becomes clear. Jason can't ask anyone to put in the overtime to do this project, but he won't stop me from doing it myself. I need to become a designer. I work on the presentation in my spare time over the next 3 weeks. When Jason figures out what I'm doing, he comes to my apartment specifically to yell at me. He also brought me a pizza, though, and didn't expressly forbid me from doing it. Working on it makes me think of my interactions with Carter, though. The way he saw people and art as different objects, and how he phrased the importance of art, make their way into my proposal. So does my frustration with the many museums I had to suffer through as a child. When I consider I could save some other poor soul from that, it makes me want to suggest a really good solution. I reassure Amy several times that one of the pantsuits she already brought me is perfect for the occasion. Mostly, I don't have a spare 2 days to prep my apartment for a familial invasion. As I step into the meeting room at the museum, I start to think that I've given Carter too much space in my brain because I'm imagining him sitting in the back left corner of the room in the second row of tables, facing the podium and presentation screen. I nearly stumble sideways on the shoes Amy insisted were the lowest heels available as I meet Carter's gaze. The man, giving me a narrow-eyed frown, isn't a figment of my imagination. No matter how much I told myself that all that mattered with this proposal was showing up, part of me has held on to the slim possibility that I could actually impress my family with it. I don't think that's going to be happening, because sitting amongst the decision makers who could allow that to happen is a man who already knows I'm a fraud.